The McElroy brothers are not experts, and their advice should never be followed. Travis insists he's a sexpert, but if there's a degree on his wall, I haven't seen it. Also, this show isn't for kids, which I mention only so the babies out there will know how cool they are for listening. What's up, you cool baby?
It's familiar, but not too familiar, but not too not familiar. It's a new craze. Hey, good girls, do you wanna just say, hey, I wanna? Just say, hey, I wanna.
Let's just jump right into it, guys. Dear Abby's dead, and what do we do now? In this,
where do we go from here?
In this post,
there's lots of like
world.
Really terrible direction that we could take this goof, but I'm actually like super sad. I feel like a pioneer is gone.
Well, I mean, that is, we do a super sad podcast.
Uh-huh.
A sad advice podcast is what shows up in our iTunes description.
Are we to mock the passing of a titan?
One of my favorite Dear Abby columns came from 1979. I thought this was the best way to remember her before we moved on to some of the actual goofs. She received a letter written by a fan of hers who was complaining about a gay couple who had moved into her neighborhood. And the letter writer said that they have all sorts of strange company. Men who look like women, women who look like men, blacks, whites, Indians. Yesterday, I even saw two nuns go in there. How can we improve the quality of this once respectable neighborhood? And her reply was, you could move.
Man, that's
Zing.
I know, like in three words, she just took somebody apart. In what usually takes us 15 to 20 hours,
right,
to put together.
Fuck, that's good, man. She probably got shit like that all the time, right? Like,
oh yeah,
my black president, who I hate, is trying to take all my guns and liberties away. Mm-hmm.
Why does that guy, that fella, if I may, I don't want to get too incendiary here, but why does that fella want to take my guns?
Right. What's
mine
his
are
deal?
First. Listen. My AR-15 is a modern musket, and I use it for one. Shut up. I use it for one thing, and that's sport. And the sport I like is hunting the homeless. And so Obama wants it. I'm trying. It's a modern muskum.
I just want to know why he wants. Why does he actually want to take my real factual musket away?
Why is he going to take my decorative musket?
I bought this blunderbuss at an auction. It is mine, damn it.
It wouldn't look as good with a shorter capacity magazine, idiot.
Why? Right.
Keep
idiot.
Your hands off my novelty cannon.
Leave my musket alone, and also stop trying to steal my musk. That's my fragrance. I worked on it with Jean-Pierre Lapierre, and it has sandalwood and notes of tobacco and longing, and please don't steal my musk. Please, it's my modern musk,
Obama.
Why does
Obama want
to
take my stank away?
Why? Please don't take my modern musk,
The Third
musk,
Amendment defends our stank. Defends our right to hold stank without quartering enemy soldiers. I think that's number three.
I've seen a lot of hostage movies, and I've learned one thing, and that's if someone is gathering up a bunch of guns, that mm-hmm. means they're about to lead an assault.
Oh, my
they're
God,
about,
yeah.
Like, they're like, I need all your guns. I'm gonna like rescue my nephew, Dumb Ricky, from the hospital that he's mm-hmm. captive in.
I gotta tell you, Justin, with the flu that you have, clearly. By the
yes.
way, listeners, Justin has a flu. If you sounded just a little more belligerent, you already have like the sort of death rattle voice of Alex Jones, so yeah. You could like really drop some science on our listeners.
Hey, listen, everybody. Do you own any gold? Why not? You retards.
We trade goofs for gold.
We trade goofs for gold here on the My Brother Me show. Hey, listen, coming up after the break, we got a brand new set of knives. These are pearl handled. You're going to be able to pick up three of these for $17.99. And after the break, a samurai sword also. It's going to look real great on your mantle where your modern musket used to hang before Obama took it away.
Now, Let me ask, you, is Alex Jones also like
Alex
a
Jones
CBS?
Hosts the Knife Show.
Okay.
Yeah. Alex Jones hosts the Knife Show. I realized as I was doing that goof that I really don't know anything about Alex Jones except he thinks everybody should have a water purifier in their apartment. And then I decided to transition seamlessly, at least it was seamless until you pointed it out, seamlessly into the guy that runs the Knife Show, okay, which I love. I love that guy.
Okay.
You're going to be able to buy 70 knives for $30. Why? What is the situation?
That is a lot of knives for a very low amount of money.
I want to practice throwing knives into the river.
But I don't want to walk over and retrieve them.
Now, see, my joke was the river. You should have let me finish my joke.
I think you were crossing.
Let me try again.
Ah, oh, Jesus.
I'm going to throw my knives in. I want to practice throwing knives into the river.
This episode of My Brother and Me is sponsored by Theraflu, which if you take too much of it, you are just going to fucking trip your ass right to the moon. Clearly.
I live in a van down by the river. Great. You guys hear that one?
Great.
A van down by the river, Matt Foley.
Travis, do you think we should...
Matt.
Should we start... should we take control of the podcast? And B, should we host some sort of intervention?
I would take control of the podcast, Griffin, but Obama took my guns away.
You want control of this podcast, you gotta take it by force.
You can pry this podcast out of my cold, dead fingers.
Here's a question. I have a first date coming up. I recently found out, however, that the girl I'm going out with has a Twitter account where she live tweets all her first dates. I haven't followed her, and my account isn't public, but I do have the address, and all signs point to her not knowing / not caring that I can read it. She's tweeted some about me already. We're going to dinner and a concert. Should I discreetly follow the play-by-play and act accordingly? Or should I ignore it in hopes that it won't throw off my game? That's tempted by Twitter.
Are you kidding me?
The fucking worst thing I've ever heard.
What are we doing?
So is this like she just does it or like she's doing it as like a project?
It sounds like this is her social media presence.
Yeah, it's awful. You're the worst person.
But the worst person is the person who didn't include her username so I can follow her.
Yeah, that's a great point. I mean, I would do that. Don't get me wrong. I would do this for entertainment, but it's like, this is the same reason that you don't date a Kardashian. It's because you don't want that to be your whole life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Exactly, right. People will forget how good you are at football or rapping.
That's the only thing that's keeping me from doing that. Other than the fact that I'm very happily engaged. And also, I still don't know what and who the fuck those people are and what they did.
I would also like to point out, I mean, I know that this wasn't the point of the question, but this means that when this girl goes on a first date, she's constantly, like, typing on her phone. Maybe that's why she goes on a lot of first dates.
At least you'd know, like, right when you, like you...
I'll order for the lady.
Code's coming out. You accidentally, like, flip a ramekin of mustard onto her, and she whips the phone out. And you're like, okay.
Fuck.
I did deserve that one. You got me.
Can you just be, like, having dinner with her and be like, hey, would you mind putting your goddamned phone away so I can, like, try and form a personal connection with you and maybe later get some touch?
Here in the wilderness of human civilization, two people have found each other, and you're marking the occasion by, like, play-by-playing it, tweet-by-tweet.
I also would suggest, like, listen, I'm not one to poo-poo something before you even give it a shot, but this girl sounds awful. Is that just me?
Yeah, she doesn't sound, like, very, very cool or fun.
I mean, it could be cool and fun. We don't know unless we read those tweets.
Is it possible that she's dating you because, like, the one girl in the in that Boy Meets World episode?
Topanga. Mm-hmm.
No,
Corey's mom.
The Alanis.
Corey's dad.
Morissette.
You said girl. Avatar. I don't know why you said girl. If you're
Morgan
about
one,
Corey's
Morgan two.
The one who had a songwriting career about Corey's brother,
Larissa Olenek.
Okay, right. And she needed to date him.
Topanga again.
I feel like you guys are kind of. I'm trying to get across
the black
point
one.
To you. No.
The only one.
There weren't the one black person on Boy Meets World. Uh-huh. No.
To be fair, there were two. There were two black people. There was the teacher in season one who was not asked back.
Oh, shit, that's right. Anyway, what were you saying, Justin?
There was one on there that dated Corey's brother. And he treated her badly, Minkus? And she got a hit song out of it. Okay, I give up.
Potato.
I quit. I'm out. I quit.
Was it Potato?
I think she's dead. I think she's going out with you for more material. Okay, that's what I'm saying to you.
This is
she's
what
dating
I
dating you for material.
As somebody who works on and broadcasts pretty much exclusively on the internet for the way that they make money for a living, why does this person feel like the medium for this broadcast has to be live? Who right. Is their audience like, it's 8 o'clock on a Friday, time to tune into those tweets. It's not like an old-timey radio show. Why can't she fucking wait home and then write up a blog post and try and make it honest?
Who remembers anything, though? I don't remember anything that happens unless
and also,
I tweet it.
Can you imagine being the dude who, like, reads the field report later, where it's like, so here's how it went down. And you're like, oh, man, I thought I did good. I did bad.
I thought I did a real good job. Best way to build your presence is probably to bomb the date. Because then you're going to get a lot of people following you. If your date's good or unremarkable, it's going to be a non-starter. But like if you completely bomb it,
just
like Tom Bombadil,
compulsive
bomb it,
mimetic behavior.
Yeah.
Unless you have the greatest date anyone has ever had ever. Now listen, you're really gonna have to pull out all the stops and really commit to this, but you could be Twitter famous.
Everybody
for having the best date
everybody's been trying to have the best date ever for 1,000 years.
There's listen,
no
I'm not saying the odds aren't stacked against him.
It's
I'm not
be very...
saying it's not gonna be an uphill climb.
He'll show up to the dinner with like a ukulele. And he's like, that's for later. He'll have two jackets so he can put one around you and also one over that puddle that you can step over.
The greatest first date ever was already had by John Cusack and Kate Beckinsale in Serendipity.
Oh, great.
So let that ship sail. You're not going to beat him.
Or recreate Serendipity, but don't tell her what you're doing.
Isn't that sort of against, the spirit of the film Serendipity?
What if she hasn't seen Serendipity and her followers realize before she does that you are just recreating the film Serendipity?
Holy shit. You have to secretly be tweeting about the date also that you are goofing her on a faux Serendipity switcheroo.
Oh my God. That's a little played out.
Yeah.
I got another question for you.
Okay.
I have a problem. My boss is super long-winded, and he's super on my case. Some of his points are valid, but it's as if he will not stop speaking on his own volition. He'll circle the same point over and over again, repeating things he said in past conversations or just minutes ago. I don't think I've ever had a one-on-one with him that was under 20 minutes. They're usually closer to 40. There's never more than 5 minutes worth of information. He is my boss, and I can't tell him to shut his goddamn yapper. Need some tips and tricks. That's from Karma Tornado.
I have never understood when people have this complaint. It's like they don't realize that in the 40 minutes where your boss is telling you things to do, you're not having to do anything. That's a 40
you're
minute.
You're trying to remember the lyrics to a Dave Matthews Band song.
That's right. You don't have to work when your boss is talking to you. It's like a little vacation in the middle of the day.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. We used to try to get my friggin' algebra teacher to tell us about the Civil War.
Oh, man. Because
if you could get him to talk about that, Mr. Sheets would go on a whole class period on that topic.
I would also suggest this phrase. I'm going to stop you right there. You've inspired me.
Okay.
And just be like, I have to finish this project now, Frank. Thank
Listen,
you.
Listen, Frank, you've put the proverbial wind beneath my wings. I really need to fly now. I feel like I need to fly on my own. Can you give me a coffee? Are you my boss? Because Justin forgot the question.
Listen, Frank. This back's not going to rub itself.
Listen, Frank. Please, just drive the cab, Frank. Man, I'm lost
what
in
are you,
on this one.
Did you take, like, cold medicine or Dilaudid? What are you
I
on?
Took, here's what I'm on. I'm on Tamiflu, which I heard some hubbub about back when the Superflu was, like, a real fear. So I'm on Tamiflu. I'm on dextromethorphan.
That's
going to decongest me. I'm on Mucinex DM has that in it, and it's got a cough suppressant and something to just loosen it up. And then I'm on some ibuprofen and some zinc, which for me, when I have a hard hit of zinc, it's like it feels like my brain is a balloon, and I have to pull its string down to earth to grab the balloon and whisper in its ear.
I actually know that to be a fact. That is not a goof that Justin is coming up with right now. I remember that being a problem Justin had in high school.
The zinc gets you zinc fucked up?
Gets me messed up. Mm-hmm. I'd really lose it on zinc. I lose whole seconds. I fall out of time.
But this is like, why would you take it before we do the show instead of just playing through the pain like fucking Kurt Schilling in the Bloody Sock? This could have been your Bloody Sock of comedy. But it's
this is fair, weird.
I've also drank a lot of beers before this too. So, I mean,
am I the only one that is substantially? I'm sorry. I'm on crack cocaine right now.
So you smoked crack.
Crack cocaine.
Hey, can you give us a Yahoo answer?
Sure, I can. This Yahoo answer was sent in by Matt R. Thank you, Matt R. It's by Yahoo Answers user.
Is he any relation to Chris R?
Yes, it's Chris R's little brother. Okay, thank you, Matt. Danny. Thank you, Matt R. It's by Yahoo Answers user Rose is a Vander, who asks, is it wrong that I sleep with a machete? I sleep with a machete every night in case I wake up in the morning and I'm forced to survive. I keep two lighters with me unless I'm at school and occasionally carry a dagger in my boot. My mom is threatening to take away all my stuff because having the weapons only feeds my fear or government. But that's probably fear of government. But when I have my machete, I'm not afraid of anything. She just can't see that something is going on in the world. She doesn't understand that I don't feel like I'm here to have kids and start a family. I feel like I'm here to fight and die for my loved ones. I just don't see how it's wrong to be ready for a disaster. I don't want to wake up and have the house falling apart and I die trying to get my stuff together. Is he saying literally? Like, is he going to fight an earthquake with his magic machete?
Can I hit you guys with a proverb and let me know, and you let me know if it seems wise to you? Because in my head right now, it seems really wise.
Throw your wisdom spaghetti against our wall, and we'll tell you what's
next. Let me just see what's next.
And then we'll say, you wasted that spaghetti. What the fuck?
I'm not saying you're going to want to, like, cross-stitch this on something, but I think there's a nugget of truth there. The man who sleeps with a machete is a fool every night but one. Think about that for a second.
You know what? I am going to get that stitched onto a pillow.
Or your armor. It's something. Just, like, stitch it, I feel like.
I don't want to get too deep here, but I would also say that every morning when you wake up, you're forced to survive.
Wow. Damn it. Right? Hey. Can I try?
Yeah.
The world is a little bit brighter when you carry a smile for a flashlight. God damn it. Can I try again?
Let me hit you with another one.
Okay.
Life is like a box of chocolate.
Get out. We were doing so good.
Wait, okay, how about this one?
Okay.
The man who sleeps with a machete is a cut above the rest.
That wasn't a proverb. It was just like a pun.
I think it was.
Okay. That sounds like the sign you put outside of your machete store.
Well, okay, to be fair, my machete store, a cut above, is thriving. Thank you very much.
Can I try?
Yeah, you want to try again?
There are holes in the floor of heaven, and mama's tears are raining down.
What? Okay.
That's from the country song, Holes in the Floor of Heaven.
All right. Feed Jake. He's been a good dog. Been my friend right through it all. Feed
Don't
Jake.
Take the girl.
God, please don't take the girl.
Can we just do Tim McGraw songs for the rest?
Listen, hey, pretty lady, why don't you give me a sign? Do anything to make your mind.
John Michael
mind.
Montgomery. I don't mean to put you on blast, but it's John Michael buggy. Montgomery.
Guys, listen. Prop me up beside the jukebox if I die.
Okay.
You know?
If you guys want to pursue this.
Let's all go down to Dumas Walker's.
Travis, will I be able to procure a slaw dog, fries, and a bottle of ski?
And then you can bring it on out to your baby and ye. Three people just lost their shit.
Yeah, and all of them are in the Kentucky Headhunters. Okay, I'm so flattered. So flattered you guys are listening, by the way.
I have friends in Austin. I went on a fucking Doomsday Preppers bender over the holidays. And when I got back to Austin, I was hanging out with my group of friends, like, yeah, and this show, Doomsday Preppers, they, like, build secret layers and they, you know, they buy a bunch of shit and prep for the end of the world. Isn't that crazy? And pretty much all of them either, the two responses I got were, we have that, yes, or we are actively in the process of acquiring those things.
So you think that, like, everybody is secretly Doomsday Prepping?
I feel like I'm the only person who, like, when shit goes rough, when shit starts to pop off, Quetzalcoatl makes his tardy appearance. Mm-hmm. Like, everybody on my street is just going to, like, iron shutters are going to slam over their door. And I'd be like, where's our fucking iron shutters? Why didn't we get those?
I went to New Year's Eve. I went to dinner at, like, a fancy, very fancy restaurant. And they did this thing where after we ate, they took a razor or, like, a long, thin metal blade and scraped it over our table so we would not have to... Our vision would not be besmirched by crumbs anymore. I say that because if that's still going on in society, like, I think we have a pretty long way to fall before we're back to, like, machetes. Like, if that's the first thing that goes and then it's like, I have to reach the adjacent table to get a bottle of ketchup, like, that's our apocalypse. Like, I don't think we have so far to break down before that. Like, I think I'll see it coming.
Justin, the point you're trying to make right now is, it seems so innocuous, but what you're really saying is that you have become accustomed to a level of comfort where if you don't have a man who scrapes the crumbs off of your table so you don't have to look at the crumbs from the expensive, delicious food you just ate, you might right. as well be fucking dead. You might as well just, like, you might as well just lay down and wait to die.
That's not the exact point I was trying to make, but I mean, I think that that's fine if you... I would prefer someone next time scrape the crumbs off myself, because then it's like there's a clean table and a crummy guy, and it's like, yeah. Well, how did that happen? I don't have a good excuse.
But just
did
you sure come into this restaurant with crumbs? You gotta use a soft, bristled broom.
Sir, yeah. Please don't touch the table. Please.
Please, sir, can you scoot we have another back? Party coming in a couple hours. Can we get a giraffe in here to lick these crumbs off of him? Thank you.
We have a self mess. Can someone please open up someone the guest gutter and dump him in, please?
Someone with a BMI over 10 is in the restaurant. Can we have them removed, please? Justin,
I really am. Like, feel like
they're enschloppening the whole atmosphere.
A machete seems just like an awfully dangerous thing to sleep with.
Why? How? Why is it so much? Okay, why is it? You know what? I have an axe within reach of the bed, but it's not in the bed unless you count. Yeah. I mean, unless you count the old battle axe.
In his defense, your axe doesn't have a vagina on it.
Right. Correct.
Sorry. Let me be. I didn't read that paragraph of the Yahoo answer, but his machete has a fake vagina on it.
We've been doing this show for too long. Officially, I think. Can we do a show about normal people? Normal things that they do.
I would say, Griffin, that it is okay to throw stones at people who have sexual relationships with weaponry.
Well, it's not safe. Well, no. Certainly. I'd throw stones at other people before I'd throw stones at people who are in love with an axe. Certainly.
Wait a second. Do you think that's the... Oh, my God. All of, like, the crazy, NRA gun appreciation day... Do you think it's really because they are fucking these guns literally? They are if you push two pistol barrels together, man, and just wedge something in there, it's going to feel phenomenal.
You listen to me, Beulah.
Oh, man.
I will never let them take you. You are my special, special somebody.
I can't tell if you're trying to do Alex Jones, but...
I don't know who that is. I don't know what he sounds like or anything. I know he's a nut bar, and I know he thinks it was a hoax.
You listen to me, Beulah. I'm going to have sex with your barrel while I tell you that the second tower could never have come down because metal doesn't melt that way.
I'm going to cock my gun, and then I'm going to pull back the hammer thing that gets it ready to shoot.
I have a friend that I will hang out with a lot, and we have a lot of fun.
Do you want me to do this for you?
Let me try it in a different tense. Because this seemed very sort of forward-looking. That was
past perfect participle present perfunctory.
I have a friend that I hang out with a lot, and we have a lot of fun when we go out. The problem is whenever I say something funny or come up with a goof, he will repeat what I just said back to me verbatim. Not only that, he won't add anything to the joke, and he will repeat what I said to other friends and take full credit for it. Is it awkward because I don't want to call him out for it, but sometimes it gets a little annoying. Should I tell him to write his own jokes, or should I just suck it up? It's from Shafted in Savannah.
Is he like saying, hey guys, did you hear what he just said? He said, and then repeating the joke, or literally just turning to the group and saying it again?
It sounds like he's just literally saying them, right? Like he's mirroring them.
But he's learning.
Does when he first started like hanging out with us, he was an amorphous blob, but he's starting to gain characteristics similar to my own.
I don't know, man. I think if you call this dude out, he's going to give you like an Invasion of the Body Snatchers style howl. And yeah, I think he's going to turn to ash and return to his home planet.
He'll have surpassed you, and he'll take your words, your thoughts. He'll steal them.
Does this man have a slug attached to his brain? Maybe
is there a visible slug?
Is there a visible slug coming through like a part in his hair? Does he have any spines?
Can anyone else see him but you?
Are you imaginary, perhaps?
Does he ask to borrow some of your clothes and then all of your clothes?
Are you two ever in the same room at the same time?
Does your mother often confuse him for you?
How did you internet, Figment? That's amazing.
That's amazing, Figment.
Fig Newton, you're incredible.
Juice Newton, you're a great singer. That's a personal message from me to Juice Newton.
Oh, God. The title of this episode is Tangents with a Z.
Did you guys have a good week?
let's pause. Let's take a break. Take a brother break.
Oh, just a quick brother break. So Justin can take these anymore.
So Justin can huff some more zinc.
I'm just trying to get it together. I'm holding on by a thread.
I think we should go to the money zone.
Yeah, this is so far has been something that we should be paid for. I look back at the past half hour and think, I demand recompense for this has happened. And I bet you and Ho are thinking the same thing. These guys are great. I just wish I could pay for what's happening to me.
Don't put a penny into the port at the bottom of your iPod, because it'll break it.
Yeah.
And also, we want more than pennies.
Yeah, we need dollars. Dollars and cents. That's all we're about.
No, not cents.
Cents like Musk, because Obama stole all mine. So if someone can send me a Musk that I can use for my variant.
Have you ever thought about how Musk sounds like musket?
And how musket sounds like musketoon, which is like a shorter barreled musket.
I got a pretty good goof coming up for you 20 minutes ago, Griffin. I think you're really going to have liked it.
Most people aren't aware that this podcast is cyclical.
Yeah, this whole podcast is a haiku.
Actually, the last podcast will end with our birth. It'll be really weird.
Like a snake eating its own tail. My brother and me.
Mobius strip. Nope. Wait. Money zone. Happy birthday and anniversary. I hope we were paid twice for this message to Arthur Gorka. And that's from
Happy anniversary of your birth.
Happy anniversary of your birth and your agreement to stay with each other forever. That's from Lindsay Wood. She loves Arthur very much, one would assume. And it's his birthday and the day that their special commitment was born.
So we have.
What is that, you ask? We don't know. Love?
Love? What am love?
Am Justin love?
Grip. Grip. Am Justin no love, yes.
Am Justin... Am Justin touch love?
Oh my god. I promise we didn't, during the Money Zone break, we didn't take chunky bong rips. We did all take a fuckload of zinc, though.
Oh, Griffin, god. Who am feeling?
Justin, can you guide us through these choppy waters?
Yeah.
Baby, why is Justin at the wheel?
Baby wants... Oh, man, I watched Blue Velvet last night, and at the moment where Dennis Hopper is screaming, baby wants to fuck, and he takes a segment of Isabella Rossellini's robe and manipulates her genitals with it, I was thinking to myself, that seems unsanitary. Mm-hmm. He should have stopped at extremerestraints.com. Mm. It's an adult superstore, so you don't have to fuck Isabella Rossellini with your hands wrapped in robe.
Imagine what other classic movies would be like if they had extreme restraints in them.
Yeah, you could just go get a woman's fetish uniform. Baby likes to fuck? Well, get her something that's appropriate for that. Get her a nurse perverse. It's a beautiful nurse's costume with some really tasteful covers over her nipples, and it looks great, very sexual.
Is it cotton? If it's not cotton, I can't wear
it. I don't know, but I would assume it's all natural. Mm. It's probably edible too, I don't know. There's also
made of fruit roll-ups.
It's also a silicone deluxe come through penis plug.
Mm-hmm.
So when you don't want to take the time to take your plug out, you can come, I guess, through it or around it. I'm not exactly sure of the physics, but what I am sure of is that you're going to save a lot of money.
You come into an envelope, and then you mail it to your lover. Please don't do that to us.
You mail it to yourself in the past, and you're like, when did this happen?
That's how you patent your cum.
That's how you patent your cum.
That is actually in most courts, as long as there is a postmark on it. Mm-hmm. That will hold up in court.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm sorry, I couldn't be the father.
But don't wait too long, because then that semen will grow into a baby.
That's true.
As we all know.
And you'll get another mailbox baby. God, it's such a shame, isn't it? Isn't it such a shame, these mailbox babies?
Thanks to extremerestraints.com, I have seen more manipulated, twisted, plugged dicks than I have normal dicks. I no longer have a barometer for what a regular penis looks like. Yeah. So often have I seen them caged and pinned like a wild boar.
I didn't know until we started perusing the JPEGs on Extremely Strange. I didn't know about the secret sex hole that you have on the back of your head that you can, that anyone can. It's called your Gorka.
No, I don't think it's called your Gorka.
So our friend James Medina at Extreme Restraints sent me a list of some suggested products to talk about. Oh my god, the best one is the last one, and it is the Kinky Kyle Head and Body Masturbator, which I thought at first from reading the title was like a suit that you wore that masturbated your whole body at the same time.
Oh my god,
what's up 2013?
But it's not. It is, in fact, a full body that you use to masturbate.
Oh, okay. I like it.
That's just sex.
And he has eyes, which is weird. So search Kinky Kyle Head and Body Masturbator at extremerestraints.com.
If you say that sex is just using someone else's body to masturbate, is that the creepiest thing?
Basically, a pretty terrible thing to say out loud. I do want to say, though... That the best thing I've ever said out loud to counterbalance that terrible thing that Griffin said is that you can save 20% at extremerestraints.com if you enter the coupon code MIDDLEST as you're checking out. You're going to save 20%.
if you get off, let's get serious. If you get off, when you get off using one of these fine products, it's basically going to be because of us, because of the savings that we've just passed along to you.
Yes, 20% of your orgasm belongs to us.
Yeah, so if you could scoop up approximately 20% of the... toss that bitch in an envelope. Maybe send it our way. P.O. Box... What is the number, Justin?
Sorry?
The P.O. Box.
P.O. Box 54, like the car, Huntington, West Virginia, 25706.
Please don't... Please.
Don't send us an envelope of your cum. Stop it! Stop now. Unless, this isn't funny anymore.
Oh, check it out. What if they seal the envelope with it and we'd never know?
Oh, what if they've already done that?
What if I'm going to quit forever? And I don't just mean this show, but life. I don't have the strength to go on anymore.
How about a Yahoo answer?
Extremestrange.com. Coupon code middle is 20%. Hit me, Griffin.
I have a question about pubes and a question about porn. And I'm worried that following up that whole seg... with one of these.
Yeah, maybe not. Maybe something about...
You gotta Ira Ray sent this in.
Do you have anything about Sanford and Son?
I don't.
Okay.
This Yahoo answer was sent in by Ira Ray. Thank you, Ira. It's by Yahoo Answers user
Ty. Are you Ira Ray? Who wants to know? It's a tag. It's a stinger. It's not a joke. It's a stinger. It's an audio stinger.
Yahoo Answers user Tyler asks, for school, we have to make a pretend restaurant and I need a catchy slogan. My restaurant's name is Tyler and Kyle's Totally Bodacious Rib Shack. We have seafood
and... I'm sorry. One more time.
My restaurant's name is Kyle and Tyler's Totally Bodacious Rib Shack. We have seafood and barbecue. I needed to know so much more about K&T's TBRS.
Kyle and Tyler's Totally Bodacious Barbecue and Fish, where the food is as good as it looks.
It is but as bodacious as you may have heard.
As bodacious as you believe in your heart that it is.
We are not shitting you about the bodacious.
Come eat some fucking torsos.
Tykel and Kyler. Food?
I'm sorry, what were their names? And when did it go from being an awesome rib shack to being like a highfalutin, like micro food kind of place?
Oh, have you been to that new coffee shop? It's totally shade grown organic. They only serve one cup a day. It's called Tykel and Kyler's. They also have gift sets.
Fuck. Why is this a thing that your school's making you do? Do you think this guy's teacher is like, I can't wait to get out of the fucking teaching biz. Got to open up my own restaurant, but I just have no ideas.
Griffin, I know that people are always talking about us talking too much about Dawson's Creek on this show, but it seems like a fine time to bring up Dawson's dad's restaurant concept. For those not familiar with the show, for literally two seasons of this program, Dawson's dad's job was to build a model of a restaurant where everyone wore scuba gear. That was his profession.
And it wasn't a joke?
No, it wasn't a gag.
That was his goddamn job.
Every time they pan to this poor, formerly The Flash motherfucker, it's him putting together, like, putting a helmet on a little guy in a scuba-themed restaurant.
But he also had his other restaurant, which was Dawson Dad's 100% Safe Car Floor Ice Cream, which, spoiler alert, season 4, Dawson's Creek. If you haven't watched it, I apologize for the spoiler.
I think we've talked about this before.
I think I edited it out because I was really worried about spoiling Dawson's Creek.
What's awesome about the scuba-themed restaurant is that later in the show, Dawson's family did, in fact, have a fish restaurant. Yeah. But had none of the... There was no even tip of the hat to its more scuba themed. There was apparently an off camera conversation between Mitch and Gail where Gail's like, "Listen, Mitch, this is the dumbest goddamn idea ever. You know what people like? Fish. You know what people hate? Helmets and tubes. I'm not doing this with you anymore. Let's get a divorce." Sydney often tries to convince me that Dawson's Creek is actually the story of Mitch and Gail.
Well,
that everyone else is ancillary.
I don't. Well, I mean,
think about it, it really makes a lot of sense.
Categorically, it doesn't.
I mean, if you think about it, that's her time to regroup anyway. I have recently taken a listen to audiobooks to help pass the time during life's more menial tasks. Once I complete listening to one, can I claim that I have read it, or do I tell people I have only listened to every single word over the course of 10 hours? That's from Wondering in Woodstock. Travis, I bet you have an opinion about this.
I do, and it's awful.
The ship is still on its steady course.
Yep. The problem is, yes, you can say that you read it, but you'll have to 100% of the time follow that up by saying, well, I mean, I listened to it. It's better just not to bring it up.
You're getting the information in your fucking brain. Like, how does it matter
You'd be amazed that, like, I've had this argument with people before, because I agree with you, Griffin, but the number of people who say, like, no, taking in audio information and visual information is too different, like, it's completely different, and you don't hold it the same way. Now, I will say this. I could see why having somebody read it to you tends to put their inflection on things, and, you know, you don't hear it in your own voices in your head. You hear it through them. So I could see where that would affect it a little bit, but you're still getting the story. You're still getting the words, like...
You're still getting fucking smarter. I don't understand why these people have to stand. You're trying to do better, and they're like, but it's indifferent. Well, fucking, man, fuck those Beekmans. You don't need that.
Right.
I don't think any of these Beekmans are ever going to quiz you on a...
How did the paper feel in your hands then? Describe the textile element.
Well, I mean, how is it different? I mean, it seems to me like the same kind of progression of, like, reading a book or getting it on a Kindle, except, hey, guess what, idiots? I can listen and do other stuff at the same time.
You can listen to that book and read another book. Double books.
Yeah, you know what you can't do? Read a book and drive a car.
Yeah.
I can listen to the book on tape and drive a car at the same time. Who's smart now, Beekman? Me.
Now, let me ask you the slightly more complex question. What if the audio version is abridged?
Oh, well, then it doesn't count.
It does, though, because when you read a book, you're automatically abridging it, because everybody knows that when you read a book, you're really only reading every other paragraph.
Tops.
You'll read a sentence and be like, John woke up and looked outside. And you're like, well, he's about to describe some fucking trees for like 200 words, so I'm just going to go ahead and skip around and look for the word tits.
You know, when I was in elementary school and I had to read books for the accelerated reader program and then take quizzes on it, I would read every other page.
Yeah.
And I aced every single one of those tests.
Sure, because you're a very lucky man.
Well, I got the basic gist of Treasure Island. Now, maybe I was confused as to where some characters came from.
Yeah.
But I knew who the characters were. And it was fifth grade. It's not like they were, like, really in-depth quizzes. It was like, what was the name of the evil pirate? And you're like, Long John Silver. I learned that in the first, like, 10 pages.
What if Travis did that and became the first dude to ever understand Finnegan's Wake? Like, everyone's like, oh, shit, yeah. Every other okay.
Oh, it was like a codex. Okay.
I got it.
You had to read every other page, and then they connected.
Unless one of the pages you were skipping had the word tits on it. You quickly scan.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's why the Kindle is great, because you can just, like, search for the word tits.
Control F. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes tits. They don't say tits, though. Sometimes they say, like, titties.
Mm-hmm.
James Joyce used them interchangeably. So if you search one, you're really going to be missing out on, like, half the book.
Mm-hmm. That's why it's better just to type tit, and then it'll pull up both.
No, because then you could get, like, title.
Right. Oh, that's true.
And nobody wants to waste time.
Or, like, titular. Uh-huh. And then you're like, oh, damn, it's not what I thought it meant.
Or titay, which isn't sexy. It's not sexy, as someone said.
I forgot about... Yeah, James Joyce also peppered his works with that.
He coined the term titays.
Uh-huh. Actually, the only character in Finnegan's Wake that uses the term titays is Meth Daryl. And everyone knows that you could skip all the Meth Daryl sections and really take just as much away from the novel.
That's why when you search it on your Kindle, you got to do the minus sign Meth Daryl. Mm-hmm. So that way it will edit Meth Daryl out of the book for you.
Completely.
Did you know you can do that with Kindle? Just edit out whole sections of the book?
Yeah. Books are the fucking worst.
Yeah.
I get it, books. You had your chance.
If I could
You had pictures and you talked. Oh, wait, that's movies. Get the fuck out, books.
Yeah.
I read books for the first, like, 16 years before I was alive, before computers and everything. And I really feel like books have had their chance. at this point, if I'm not reading anymore, isn't that really their fault? Like, ooh, didn't they have a chance to get their claws into me?
Let me ask you guys a next level question.
Okay.
Hit me.
Okay, so we agree that when you listen to the book on tape, you can say you read it, right?
Yeah.
What if you watch a really, like, accurate movie version of a book?
Sure.
I don't...
You say you read it.
I think if...
I think with a movie, you run a real risk of saying the one thing that, like, lets the person know that you only saw the movie. Like, I think that that's a long-distance scam.
So, but, like, with Game of Thrones, where they made, like, 10 episodes of one book, that's pretty accurate. You know? Like, I feel like that covers it.
But I think in Game of Thrones, you is a rare example of where you should be more embarrassed to have read the book. Right? Because you're saying, instead of actually seeing some real jug-a-rugs on TV.
Oh my God.
I'd rather read a fat bearded man tell me about
it. I don't know, because that fat bearded man can weave a tapestry of adjectives describe. Yeah.
Words he creates.
He fucking
discuss titties.
Goes centimeter by centimeter, describing every bump, every nook and cranny of the areola. He gets
George
in there.
George R.R. Martin is a man who knows his nipples.
He does. In, on, and around those titties.
He gets you inside the mind of the titty.
Right. Yeah, you really know what the titty's thinking. And I mean, you can
feel
the...
Justin.
Yeah.
Titty.
You can feel the lactation. I'm saying sometimes when you read them, you can really feel that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
His descriptions of breasts are so exquisite, you would almost swear they were edible, because those are the only other things that get his attention in that fashion.
Well, it activates the same part of not everyone's brain, but certainly George R. R. Martin's.
The only thing George R. R. Martin likes is food and breasts and ways to avoid walking. If he can do any of those three, he is stoked. I don't know him personally. He's probably a very sweet man.
Who knows a lot about boobies?
He does. I mean, he writes. He can write a boob.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I'm saying. He can write a boob.
I do find it weird when there are entire chapters from the perspective of tits. Like, that that seems a little excessive. It's like the tits heaved up and down, and they didn't see much until they got out to fuck. But and then the kings died. And then it's
there's
like, well,
that
I
one
would've...
point in the book where it tangented off to a time when George R. R. Martin saw some boobs.
Yeah.
And it had nothing to do with like the story he was telling, but it like took over from the narrator.
It was the summer.
Was, like, speaking of boobs.
The summer of 75 in the back of my dad's Chevrolet.
The blood of Reggie Stark splashed onto the boobs, and then they knew that the king had perished.
And there was not a dry boob in the house that day.
Not a dry boob, as all the boobs were covered in tears of the families that had lost men that day.
And House Stark always knew that winter was boobing.
So it was...
So many men were lost that day. So many hearts broken just below the breasts.
You can read more in the final chapter of the Game of Thrones series titled A Barrel of Jugs.
My girlfriend and I recently
Dragon
got engaged.
Tits. Sorry, go
Dragon
on.
Dragon Tits. A Song of Ice and Fire. And boobs.
Okay.
My girlfriend and I recently got engaged. We started planning our wedding. We're having a problem filling out our guest registry. Each of us have lived
in registry.
What did I say?
Guest.
We're having a problem filling out our gift. Should I start at the beginning? Would that be easier to edit?
No, it sort of plays into the narrative thread of this podcast of you being whacked out of your mind. On a single,
so
off of
thing.
A single mineral.
They lived alone before moving in together, so we already own a lot of stuff. What should we include on our registry to ensure a life of wedded bliss? And that's from wanting some free shit.
I think you are missing the point,
sir.
The point here is not to get stuff you don't already have. It's to get the new awesome adult version of the childish shit you bought for $20 at Walmart.
Right. Right.
Like, everybody's got the economy class of stuff.
Mm.
This is your chance to say, hey, maybe, you know, splurge and buy me the fancy iron.
Well, but maybe
everybody's got the coffee maker that will just literally just tip over and spill coffee all over the ground if you let brew more than 3 cups at a time. Everybody's got that already.
But maybe these people are into that. Maybe these people are into shabby chic. And we can't, you don't want to take that from them, you know?
Well, if that's the case, then you need to widen your mind.
Yeah.
And, you know, go, like, do a gift registry at, like, Home Depot and get some tools. I guarantee you don't have enough tools.
Listen, you can't, you're so young. You can't already have, if you already have all the material possessions you want right now, what are you going to distract yourself with when the magic wears off, you know?
Get in a really bad fight.
Why don't you register for toys?
They get in a really bad fight where they break all the shit that they have.
Oh, that's true. You know, I have a few different options here. My wife and I ran into something similar to this. We actually had people buy us parts of our honeymoon. We had a registry where you could buy, like, dinner one night or one night in our hotel room or whatever. So we did that. I also had our friends John and Rissy went the opposite direction. And they registered at Target for shit they didn't need. So we ended up buying them a copy of Trivial Pursuit and a large jar of nacho cheese because they had registered for it.
Now, what's to make you think they don't need that?
I mean, they certainly consumed it, I'm sure.
Right. Have you guys ever, if you look around your house, I'm sure that you could use some new bath towels or, you know, something like that. You probably are not thinking about all the new shit you could get.
I think we're just going to ask for money to, like, get a house. But, like, if people don't give us enough money at the wedding to pay for an entire house, then we don't let them leave.
Here's the problem, though, Griffin. That's not a bad idea, but there are people in this world that, like, for some reason are just so opposed to giving money that you have to give them some kind of option. Everything that I've read, everybody I've talked to is like, you need to go and register for at least, like,
I mean, we thought of that. You can either give us money for a house or the keys to the house that you got us.
Uh-huh.
We're kind of house
or crazy. Just keys to a house.
That's fun.
And then we have to find it.
It's like the Goonies.
Why don't you register for some guns?
Because Obama's gonna take them before they can even, like, get married. That would be terrible.
About video games,
can you register for toys?
I think so.
Yeah, you can. It's just like, you're not, the people who are going to buy you things off your registry, I think, one, you lose out on, by not having items in your registry, you lose out on people who aren't going to enter, people who aren't going to attend, but will go through the easy, like, few clicks to send you a gift to let you know they're thinking about you. So, like, if you look around at your household goods, if you live in America, you better get real used to the idea of being dissatisfied with your material possessions. Mm-hmm. And right now you're thinking good enough, and we don't know that term here. We always want bigger and better. Your towel's fine, but can you wrap your whole body in it 3 times and then
is
your head
still
and also
as fluffy
feet?
As it was when you bought it 3 months ago?
Is your love?
Think you're saying it. That the there's always better shit.
There's always
newer
stuff.
Shit.
Watch, like, Cribs. And pick one thing on there. It's better than the thing you have at your house. Unless you're watching a real bummer episode like Sean William Scott or something.
Wait, was his a bummer?
Oh, God. He just lived in an apartment with 2 other dudes.
So would Rhett. Did you ever see Rhett?
No,
Man's?
I'm not.
Rhett Man had piss in his toilet. And his doorbell was broken.
Sean William Scott lived in an apartment with, like, 2 other guys. And they had 2 rooms. And they were, like, sharing a bed. And there were boxes of pizza all over the floor. I did not know how they got on television, but it was amazing.
That's amazing. It's like Sean William Scott was totally recognized the fact that his star was going to burn so bright and so fast.
Like, I cannot afford to go buy, like, don't be silly right now.
Thank you, Sean William Scott.
You
were so good at Meet the Deedles.
I don't think that was his.
I'm pretty sure opus. He wasn't in Meet the Deedles.
Pretty sure.
Do you have a Yahoo that would be good?
What's the one about pubes you talked about?
Yeah, let's trot that old pubes number out.
You mentioned something about pubes, if I'm not mistaken.
This have something in a pubes?
This was sent in by Layla. Thanks, Layla. I feel like I've already spoiled the. I feel like I've already ruined the prestige.
Okay.
This is asked by Yahoo Answers user Keith, who asks, how do I prevent my dog from eating pubic hair he finds in the bathroom?
Okay.
There's not. Why do you need more details than that?
You could try. Put some quicklime on him. A that's going to scare him right away. If you dump a little quick lime right on your pubes, that's going to keep your dog away. It's going to keep deers away. If that's
you
a
problem.
You could
also go with a no-no can. Just get like a Pepsi can full of small pebbles, and every time he goes to eat the pubic hair, you shake the no-no can.
Yeah, but that means you will have to be there pretty much constantly. So
you're going to have to set a honey pot. And so you're going to have to place pubes there specifically to draw the dog in.
Or you could hire an attendant to stand over your pubes that you left in the bathroom.
Tie a long thread of cans to one of the pubes. Mm-hmm. And then when he eats it, then he'll run around and you'll hear the cans banging around.
That seems like less of a way to get him to stop, more of a way to know that he's done
it. Put the pubes on glue.
Okay.
Okay.
And then he'll try to lick it, but his tongue gets stuck. And then, well, he looks silly.
Hire a bigger dog to protect your pubes.
It would be so much. It would be so much easier to get your dog to stop doing things if dogs felt shame or embarrassment or anything.
Have you considered building a small house around your pubes and locking the door?
or get rid of the dog.
Wow, Trav.
Wow, Trav.
I'm just saying. I mean, I know it's drastic, but it would work.
Cut off his pubes, put them over, camouflage your own pubes with them, and then when he sees them, he's like, oh, no big deal. It's just mine.
Cut off his pubes and eat them in front of him and be like, how's this feel?
How do you like this? It's not so nice when it happens to you, is it?
Makes you feel pretty sad, doesn't it, to watch me eating your pubes. I'm yum, yum, yum. Wait a minute. I love this and I have a boner. Oh, God. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Sam Beckett. Quantum Leap. Out. Ziggy, I messed up. Ziggy, I ate pubes.
No. And then Dean Stockwell apparates.
I ate the pubes. Why haven't I leaked?
Dean Stockwell appears. He's like, nope, that's what you needed to do here, actually. I'm consulting with Ziggy. This can't be right. But it said in order to prevent catastrophe, you had to learn that you like eating pubes. So
guess if you hadn't eaten those pubes, Jackie Kennedy would have been shot, too.
Yeah.
Think about it.
That doesn't sound right, Al. Eat more dog pubes, Sam.
Sam, save some pubes for me. Sam. Now I have to go punch Kyle MacLachlan in the stomach because Dennis Hopper told me to. Blue Velvet again. Man, great film. That one scene where Isabella Rossellini gets fucked by dog pubes is amazing.
We're done.
It's animated and claymated, which is weird to do both.
What a fun episode.
Do you think? Tomorrow I'm going to listen to it and wonder, who is that hilarious stranger recording with my brothers? And why did I miss the recording? So this has been My Brother, Me. It's a psychosexual journey into the unknown, starring three actual brothers, Justin, Travis, and Griffin McElroy. Every week we listen to you, your questions, and we help you rebuild your life from what you've done to it every week.
That we made you do to it the previous week.
We're sorry. Every week is about undoing the damage we've done.
Man.
Twitter, thank you so much for tweeting about our program using the MBMBAM hashtag. Joel Kelly, C. Duncan Cook, John Gregory, Sanda Proden, Amalaj Shuri, Mark Brown, Jan Villarosa, Evan Weston, Bramble Pelt, Loretta Zahn, Isaac Zuka, Zix Cero, Aaron S. So many people tweeting about our program. Thank you so, so much for doing so. If you want to share our site with other people, our podcast, rather. If you want to share our clothing site with a bunch of...
We got an Etsy site.
We got an Etsy. Check it out. It's just some... Like, we find local stained glass that's been broken or discarded. Anyway. So we have a sampler. It's bit.ly/ it's bim bam.
I want to thank John Roderick and the Long Winters for the use of our theme song, which is called It's a Departure. You can find it on the album Putting the Days to Bed. Whenever I see people like on Twitter talking about how they just bought this album and how we were right, and thank you, John Roderick, and thank you, the Long Winters, for making it, I get fucking angry because it's like, why are you... It's like we've been hanging out at a party that lasted 2.5 years, and now you're only just bothering to ask what my name is. You know what I mean?
I find even funnier is when people will ask, like, what is that intro music? And it's like, we talk about it at the end of every episode.
That's been the show, I guess. Also, we're going to be at Max FunCon, Max FunCon West, this May and June, end of May or beginning of June. And I believe last check there was still... couple beds available, so head on over to MaxFunCon.com. It's going to be wild. We're going to be there, but more importantly, like, cool people will too. So get there.
Also, if you would like to have a personal message or a business message on the show, go to MaximumFun.org/Jumbotron, and they will get you all set up. Also, the brothers and I have decided that we are ready to do more live shows. We're hoping to do one in April, but we're just not sure where yet. So if you have any suggestions or if you like know any venues that would be awesome for us to perform at, then let us know and we'll try to get something set up.
I think we'd really like to do like New England.
Yeah, New York, Philadelphia, Boston, somewhere around there. So if you can make that happen for us, if you know of a venue, or not just know a venue, but like you know a guy who can get us in, he's into the show, and you know,
we need you to grease some palms.
We need you to be able to grease some wheels for us to make this a little easier.
Grease some wheels, and you're gonna be grease. Step one, you're gonna need to procure a lot of grease.
That's huge.
It's vital.
Yeah.
This final Yahoo answer is sent in by Ira Ray. Thank you, Ira Ray. All right, so Yahoo Answers user Mr. Funeral asks, who thinks B. Arthur should have been buried in a cemetery instead of cremated?
I'm Justin McElroy.
I'm Travis McElroy.
I'm Griffin McElroy.
This has been My Brother, My Brother and Me. Kiss Your Dad Square on the Lips.